Hi, and welcome to Frame Society, where we discuss real-life issues in film. Welcome back. Another week, another episode. Am I right? Yes. Do come forth on the rant. We have a pretty chill episode today. You know, very...
Pun intended.
Yeah, completely intended. Pretty chill, very like, you know... You can go get your iced Americanos for this one. Like, it's too much now, sorry. Yeah, we're talking about Frozen 2. Welcome. You know, we're going Finally. To go all into Elsa's story, all into Anna's, and I really want to talk about Kristoff. But
don't forget about Olaf.
Yeah, okay. Olaf is a bae as well.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's gonna be a super fun episode. We hope you enjoy our little rant about it. Obviously, if we're talking about Frozen 2, we will sprinkle some information of Frozen as well, you know, the first movie. But yeah, why don't we get right into it? Merch?
Merch?
My pleasure. I was seeing how many lines this one had. It's normal sized. The synopsis of today.
That's what she said.
No! This is a family friendly episode.
Stop!
I'm sorry.
Or is it?
I saw that reference. The synopsis of today. For this movie, tells us Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, Olaf, and Sven leave Arendelle to travel to an ancient, autumn-bound forest of an enchanted land. They set out to find the origin of Elsa's powers in order to save their kingdom.
Wow.
I love the detail of the autumn-bound forest, like, oof.
Yeah.
Just wait for those amazing landscapes of beautiful colored trees.
It's a very, you know, we clearly grew up with the movie. When Frozen first came out, we were like 13, 14?
Yeah, it was 11 years ago, I
think.
Yeah,
and now what? We're...
Yeah, it was.
And now we're like...
11.
It was.
Adults?
I think, or 10 or something like this. I swear to God, it's something like that. It's been like a century.
What? It's 2021, it's not 2024. Wait, that doesn't even make sense. I'm going to make
But when something. Did it came out? It wasn't like...
It was 2013. The first Frozen movie,
eight
I think.
Years. No, are you sure?
8 years ago, yes. 2013.
Damn.
Yeah.
What year did you thought it was?
I don't know, before like 2010 or something like that.
What?
No.
Tangled
no.
was yeah. the first Tangled was the first fairy tale in 3D animation in what that was in 2010, so.
Yeah. Frozen. So we were starting our adolescence with Frozen and starting, you know. Yeah. Finishing off our preteen years and going right into puberty. And then Frozen 2 came out when we were in college already. So,
oh my God.
These characters grew up with us in a certain way, which is pretty, was just pretty cool to experience, I guess. But it's not just us that love the movie, right? You know, little kids love the movie as well, obviously. You know, Merch has a super fan at her house. So, you know, we stand the movie. But since we're talking about growing up, why don't we get right into it? So, the first thing that I think we should talk about, which is, I guess, a pretty obvious thing, which is the female hero. You know, this movie is highly acclaimed for it, and it's pretty obvious that, you know, the movie, the story, it evolves because of Anna and Elsa. They aren't an accessory to the men in the story. I would say that most men in the story could be the accessory of their narrative and not the other way around, which is the most common, you know, even though the female character might be the main you know, character, most of the time it's the men in the story that move that move it along, but here that doesn't happen. They not only are the main characters and the center point of the story, they are the center point of the conflict, and not only do they clean up their messes, but they clean up the mess that their family, their ancestors, especially their grandpa, left behind, which is a really interesting way to see how they wrote these characters and this story and how they developed it. So yeah, I don't know if you want to add something about that.
Don't know.
I guess like it's not really the thing that, because if you watch like Mulan or even Rapunzel and Tangled, they're still like powerful ladies and still move the story along, but they do need a man and a love story to for it to be entertaining, which in Frozen, both Frozen 1 and Frozen 2, even like Anna's and Kristoff's relationship feels so like not important. So it's like, fine, the real love that it's shared in both the movies are sister love, and that's nice. Yeah, I guess that's where those movies are different from others, because actually the thing about, you know, strong ladies already exist in Disney for a bunch of years. Mulan is pretty old, I guess. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think they did it in a different way, much more powerful than with Mulan, because with Mulan it was like, you know, I guess she's strong, literally, she's strong, and she's smart, and she beat up all the guys with her wits, you know, but she still needed, what was his name?
General Chang.
Yes, Chang, General Chang. She still needed him to, like, you know, directed her and trained her and be a support, even though she defeated the Huns all by herself, but that's another story.
just a regular still, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Who's counting?
She still needed that love story, or at least that male presence to guide her. And yeah, in Frozen that does not happen. I don't need a man, you know. they don't need no mans, you know. They do it all alone. They do the wrong and the good, like, yeah, on their own.
Yeah, they're
so it's fine.
The characters in Frozen, what I love, one of the things I love the most, of course, you know, all great characters have flaws, but I do feel that in this movie especially, I don't know, there's a special way in how they approach those flaws and how they construct them. And, you know, Anna has her flaws, but, you know, Elsa is especially layered, yeah, in that sense. And just, I don't know, I have such a special way of seeing her, you know, during the movies and her journey and everything. But actually,
I didn't like Elsa at first.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't like her. Like, in the first movie, I was like, in this one, it feels like a bit of a redemption, but still, it's like, you know, I think if she was real, we wouldn't be friends.
Yeah, I mean,
probably.
But she's nice. I mean, she's nice personality, but I think it's nice when, you know, they make characters that you can hate or love, depending on what your personality is. It shows, because usually they make heroes to be like loved by everyone,
mm-hmm,
and so usually they're bland and you know, even Hannah has this, like, you know, she's a little bit annoying and she has this thing, like, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't like Hannah either, so
yeah, that's what I like about them. The thing I liked about Elsa since the beginning was, like, you know, I don't know, it was like, because, you know, it's the whole big sister, little sister thing. And I clearly relate to Anna in the I'm annoying sense. And like, same. I can't, I'm like stubborn and I will not say that I'm, you know, wrong. Once I hit my head on the wall, I will understand that I'm wrong, but, you know, it takes a little while to get there. The thing I like about Elsa is, you know, no matter how much bad she did in the first movie, you could tell, I feel like it was well constructed because you could tell she didn't really want to do bad. She was scared. And I feel like that representation of, you know, making mistakes and sometimes damaging relationships and things like that out of fear, I don't know, I clearly related a lot to it. So, you know, I feel like that was special in a sense. But, you know, even though Elsa, and we will get into it more in depth during the episode, is an icon of understanding who you are and your emotions and everything, I do believe we need to make, like, a bit of a, like, show off a little bit this character as an icon and an example, and y'all know who I'm gonna talk about. Let's give it up for Kristoff for a little bit, okay? Because he is such an example. He's a male icon, you know? He is just... I stan him so much, you know? He shows emotion. He's overall sensitive of the situations that's happening, you know? He's very in touch with the emotional charge in what's happening. And he is mindful of his presence in the story, you know, he's mindful of his relationship with Anna and his relationship with Elsa and how he's inserted into this family. What's his place, I guess. But at the same time, he doesn't invalidate his feelings. He just has the emotional maturity to... He's like, okay, so I'm upset about this and I'm... not feeling really validated at this moment, but there is a more pressing matter that's putting a lot of people in danger, and that's, you know, being very hard emotionally for everyone. So I'm gonna put my stuff aside, my personal stuff aside for a little bit. I'll get back to it, but right now let's help figure this out. Let's, you know, breathe, because clearly relating to Anna, she's clearly very much upset about her family history. She doesn't really know why everything is such a mess. Nobody does at that point of the movie. And she's very focused on her sister. She's very worried about her older sister. And no matter how upset he may be, Kristoff goes in, he really understands that. He's like, okay, let's go find Elsa, let's go do this. Like, the thing with the sled, I think Elsa at one point says something of like, I want to go there, but it's a bit dangerous, so Kristoff, can I take Sven and the sled and I'll go alone, whatever, and he's like, I'm not really comfortable with that. But then when Anna says, no, you're not going alone, I'm going with you, whatever, he goes, okay, fine, I'll drive, you know? He's like, sure. And then there's this magical moment of there's, like, these giant beings, like, earth gods destroying the forest and just stomping around, and Anna is, like, having a near-death experience. And he jumps in, and the only thing he says is, I'm here, what's up, what do you need? He's like, it's not, yes, like, I'm gonna solve this mess, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. No, he's like, okay, sure, there's this problem. What are you gonna do to fix it? What can I do to help? He's like, it's not my place to solve it or to be, you know, the knight in shining armor, because he's not that, you know? I don't know, the way he shows support and the way he treats both Anna and Elsa as like equals, basically, is I love Kristoff.
We are a stan group club. We are a stan club of Kristoff. We should make pin badges. The bay. No, yeah. It's and the fact that they, I think it was the first time Disney ever made a song for a male character to express his feelings. Yeah. And his emotions. What's the other one?
Aladdin, but it was like the main character, yeah. So we don't count him, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I think, yeah, because when in. Maybe the approach here is not as a male character, but as a partner of one of the main characters. Yeah, it's
a supportive. Like character, it's not important, it's not main to the story, but it's Aladdin did it before and Simba as well, but true. They were like main characters, so we don't count
think,
those.
Yeah, I don't think Simba counts because the only song he sings is I just can't wait to be king, and that is not very vulnerable.
Is it the only song he sings?
I think so. And Hakuna Matata and Can You Feel the Love Tonight, and it's with Nala, so.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. But I mean, also Frozen is a real musical, so it's like a real musical. Usually, like Disney movies can be considered musicals, or most of them, but like the really old one, like in really old one, no, but like in the 90s and before 2000, it's not really old, sorry. They were like more like movies with music than musicals. And Frozen is
they had musical numbers, but they weren't really musicals. And this one, it's clearly a musical.
Yes. Frozen 2 is the first movie that really feels like a musical. Because it's music, like, every 2 seconds.
And it has the very Broadway vibe.
Yeah, it is very Broadway. Yeah.
And that's amazing.
We stand.
So cool, my
Our
God.
Our musical geek is showing. We're just like, we love a good musical. Oh my God, it's so Broadway.
I was vibing at that theater. I was watching it and vibing like, this is my jam. I like what you did with this and with that. And oh God, just keep going.
I watched the movie and I cried. For like a whole afternoon, and then I watched it to my family the very next day because I'm that person. I'm like, we need to watch this again. And I was putting it on the family TV, like the living room, and like everyone was just like, you know, kind of watching but just vibing. It isn't really the same connection, I guess. Mm-hmm. But when this song came out, when Kristoff's song came out, everyone was like, oh my God, this is amazing. The references and like the whole vibe, the very like 80s, 90s power ballad thing. And it's a male character doing a power ballad. I just, everyone was blown away by that scene. And I was like, yeah, you know, Disney really outdid themselves with this one.
Lost in the Woods is the best song of the movie. Fight me. Fight me.
Into the Unknown Who? Show Yourself Who?
Oh,
like,
Show Yourself is the... Oh, I have a special
No. The thing about the, like, the river, about Hatta Holland, I like the song too.
Yeah,
you
that's
know, like,
beautiful.
The so cute. Yes. So cute. It's so beautiful. But Lost in the Woods is the best. Lost like, just in, the scene, the song, the fact that the original thing is sang by Weezer. Jonathan Groff is is the actor, and we said Jonathan Groff, but I mean, you know, the song is sung by Weezer, and that's amazing, because a 90s ballad by Weezer, I mean, I'm a huge Weezer fan, so I was like, oh, they got Weezer, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love this song, I love everything about this song.
Yeah, here at home, when we go into, like, a Disney day, you know, for the soundtrack of the day, we have this thing, especially with my little cousins and everything, that we do this thing. We belt out Lost in the Woods, obviously, and then we do Elsa progression thing, which we hear the songs in this order. Let It Go, Into the Unknown, and then Show Yourself. like all you know, in a row. And my cousins love it because there's always that little element that's very Elsa musically. So they're just like, oh, this was in the first song and now it's in the last song as well, but it's different, and they love it. And I'm just like, you know, appreciating the songs, but like, yeah, belt out those high notes, dudes, go for it. And it's really fun. Yeah. So I guess that with this we can kind of enter this whole Elsa thing that we need to talk about, you know, her whole journey, because we thought she found her place in the first movie, right? No, she didn't. She clearly didn't. She found a way
It's not that she didn't. She did for a period of time.
Yeah.
Because we evolve.
Yeah.
So always, all our lives. So yeah, she find a good place.
But it's not really...
at the time of the first movie. And she was nice, but then she needed to evolve. She needs something else. So yeah, she goes after it. I mean, so, life...
But the thing is, I think the first movie is very centered on Anna finally connecting with her sister.
Don't think so.
It's like, you know, the first movie is very Elsa oriented as well, but I think we have more of an understanding of the relationship through Anna. Between them, you know, and with the whole "Do you want to build a snowman" song and everything, I do believe it's, you know, besides Elsa coming back and finally understanding a bit more about her powers and not being so afraid of showing her powers, I do believe it's them reconnecting as well. And in the second movie, it's clearly very Elsa-oriented. I mean, the whole movie, it's about her finally finding out where her powers come from and where her identity comes from. So, yeah. I think this one, even though the first one still had a lot of Elsa, I think this one is way more Elsa, like, charged.
Yeah. Of course, but like, I mean, in the first one we didn't watch, I mean, of course we follow a lot more Anna than we do now in the second one, but Anna's relationship towards her sister doesn't change at all. From the beginning of the movie to the end, she still loves her. So Wu's really learning about feelings and sisterhood and everything and her power and her place and a little bit more about herself is Elsa, because Anna doesn't just goes chase her, and she's important because she is the one that shows Elsa like the real meaning of love and that she's accepted. But Elsa is the one that do all the growing, because I don't think Anna grows a lot in the movie, in the first one.
Oh, great.
I mean she do grow, but like her relationship towards Elsa doesn't change that much. Yes.
You have a really important thing to mention about Anna. Although she's not the central point of the first, nor the first, neither the second, or whatever you have to say. But, you know?
Yeah. So she's not the main character?
Yeah. She goes through a lot of learning and... I think growing as well, because in the first one she's like, oh my god, I spent so much time closing his castle, I just want somebody to love and be with me. And she falls into that mistake of not knowing someone and leaping into something in a very impulsive way, and that obviously doesn't go very well, because it's like agreeing to marrying on a stranger you just met online. That's not safe, my dude. Don't do that, please. And on the second one, she goes into a much more mature and growing process, because she learns about loss and how it feels when everything around you is like falling apart. She loses Olaf and Elsa at the same time, who were kind of her pillars, and especially Elsa, who went through that all the loss of her parents, and even that part, they finally get to reach an ending, to close that chapter of their parents' losses, because they only... It's like that thing when people say, like, oh, this relative of yours just died, and you haven't seen that person in such a long time, and you don't go, like, to their funeral, you don't see them in that state of... They're gone, not breathing, and
not breathing. Yeah,
and so it feels like it's not true. They just went on a trip, and it's a bit difficult for your brain and your whole self to move on and understand that that part is gone, is not here anymore. And I think that was really important for them to incorporate that part in the story. Because, and I thought it was really interesting, because honestly, I was a bit suspicious in the first movie. Okay, I saw the boat going underwater, but I was like, they could use this as a huge plot point for the second movie, so who knows? But yeah, when they went to that ship, I saw the ship, it was like, oh, it's the parents' ship. And yeah, that was, oh, and that scene with her, like, reliving the moment where the boat goes underwater and you see all the, not teardrops, yeah, no, how's it
the
called?
Water
drops,
that's,
yeah, the water that, drops, that's, like, starting to form the memory. Oof, that was really yeah. beautiful.
And Olaf is such an important character for that, because he keeps, like, the first half of the movie is always like, you know,
water has memory,
water has memory, water has memory, did you know, did you know, and he throws, like, other effects around, but, like, that one, it, he keeps repeating it, you know, water has memory, and then, you know, you figure out Elsa's power is a lot more than just freezing, is a lot more than just freezing over a fountain. It can be elucidating, because she can freeze the memories of water.
Yeah,
and it is with water.
And that's a big plot point as well, because she starts to understand how much she can create with her powers, and that is also, I think, a trigger for the most important part of the movie, where she goes to Otto Holland. I love that name. Otto Holland.
You know, it's really good once you reach to that point, because the whole movie, you're on this journey, you know, like, to find the fifth spirit. You know, there's a point at like, I'd say, like, half an hour in or whatever, when they start talking about the fifth spirit and like its place in nature, and we're like, it's gonna be her, it's gotta be
let's be honest, the movie is really predictable, everything. Yeah. Like, the fact that her mother severed that, yeah, I saw that coming. Her being the fifth spirit, I saw that coming. The fact that her grandpa did, like, all the shenanigans, I saw that coming. It's really predictable. It's not a really... The plot is not that well constructed.
Yeah.
It's an interesting plot, but it's really, like, a little bit cliche.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
I agree. I mean,
the movie... Yeah, the movie is better for, like, all the growing and all the lessons that the characters learned, like, on their journey and all the musical numbers, than really on the plot, because the plot is really predictable.
No, but where I was going with it was, you know, that's the thing, you know, you can, once you reach the, you can kind of see that she's gonna be the fifth spirit and everything, but what I was saying is, you spend, like, most of the movie on this journey with them, for them to find this spirit, and when you reach to that climax, to that point where Elsa finally figures out that she is that spirit, it's just, it's very cathartic. It's a very cathartic point in a movie. You're like, I don't know, I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders as a spectator, because I was like, oh, finally, you know, she finally figured out a bit more about herself, you know, a very important point of herself. So, yeah, I think it's well, that scene is very well, that climax is, I don't know, very important, very emotionally charged, because of the lesson it brings, obviously, you know. there's that line of, I am the one I've been looking for all of my life. You know, that line just of the song is just, oh, you hear that and you're like, yes, girl, yes, find yourself. Like, you know, understand yourself and grow from it. That point in the license the movie brings us, I just, yeah, it's very emotionally charged, but at the same time, very cathartic.
I thought like this moment wasn't that, I mean, it was amazing and all, but I really thought, I really saw the influence of all of her journey when she goes and saves Arendelle. I think that was I think it was too short. I think he should have been a lot more in the movie, because, I mean, that was too easy, honestly. And, yeah, like, and it was like,
let's make a wall, everything's cool. Alright, we're done.
I thought, like, the last part of the movie was a little bit rushed. But the movie is also really long, but the last part is definitely rushed. Like, you know, she discovers that Holland, then she learned the truth, then she died, then 3 seconds later, she's like,
and then it's like, to life. Like, she dies, and then it's like Anna's power song, you know, like, I'm kind of depressed, but I gotta keep on living, and then she tries to figure everything out, and then, you know, it's Anna's moment.
She doesn't even try. She just, like, figures it out.
Yeah.
Like, instantly. I mean, this part is really rushed. But, yeah, I feel the cathartic moment when she saved Arendelle. Because, like, you know, and I don't think Arendelle should have been saved that way. You know, I think it's a little bit unfair. But, you know, I mean, it should have been a little bit more, like, hard. But I guess, like, you know, it's like a movie, a 2-hour movie, we don't have time for that. But yeah, I really wish to watch really, like, them constructed by Arendelle and learning from the mistake. Like, they kind of deserved it. I mean, not they, but, like, all the history and all the glory attached to Arendelle was based on a lie.
Yeah, on colonialism.
Yeah, so I think that they should have suffered a bit more, but it's fine.
Yeah, I see your point. I think in plot wise, even in Olaf's character, there was a lot that could have been explored, and even more depth than it is in the movie, because he kind of represents the kids that watched the first Frozen and are growing in this one, because in all of in the first one he just been created and he's excited about life and he's so naive to the point that he doesn't know that snow melts with heat, and in this movie he starts to wonder and really overthink life's issues and has existential crisis, like, have you ever thought about how life is so short and, oh my god, we change and, oh, yeah, but I think when I grow up, I'll understand it a bit better, or it will be easier. No, it will not, Olaf. It will be just worse. But in that part where he's with Elsa, makes them a nice kind of boat and just makes them go so she can go on to her adventure into Alta-Holland. Olaf is starting to express his emotions, like saying he's feeling angry and he doesn't know why, and he starts saying, oh, I was expecting for Elsa to, like, be true to her words, and then she left us and now I'm feeling angry. That was really interesting, but the problem is they just did that and never came back to that point ever again.
Yeah.
Because after that, it's the cavern part, and then Elsa, they turn back to Elsa. She dies after that whole magical thing, and then Olaf disappears, and then it's Anna's part. So yeah, I think plot-wise, they could have, I don't know, organized or had I think they had too many things they wanted to develop, and not only they did not know how they could do that with 2 hours long film, but have you seen the series documentary? Oh my god, my dogs are freaking out.
Just shut up. Leave the dog. Get the Sunday.
I don't know if you've seen the documentary series of Frozen 2. You can see they were really tight on schedule, and the movie changed a lot during that whole production. And for that, I got some slack for them because they made some amazing things with that movie. But yeah, the whole plot thing for people, for the ones who don't feel the musical numbers as much as we do, you can really see that in terms of development and story, the movie's not that strong.
Lacking.
Yeah.
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 My sister, I showed this to my family. Of course, my older sister and my mom and me, we just sobbed a lot watching this. But and my other sister as well. So two of the sisters fell deeply into it. But one of them, who is not really easily emotionally connected to movies like this, or I don't think really connected to this one, and it's totally fine. She said she liked the first one better, the first Frozen, than this one. Because of that, she felt it was too long, that the story didn't really had a meaning or a goal into it. Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
You know, given that I am right now, because of my light, almost like a human representation of Olaf, because... there's no color in me whatsoever. Olaf is a very big missed opportunity of development, as you were saying, because he could be such an interesting character, and he is, because of his growing as well. You know, he has so much to grow and so much to understand. He's almost like the child of that whole family. So it would be nice to see him evolve a bit more and understand a bit more about the world, and not just, you know, pass it along, because he comes back and it's all good again. He died. Something must have happened emotionally to him when he came back, you know? He went through a really traumatic experience, I would say.
I mean, it's not the first time, so...
true, but...
That's the thing, like, that's another problem I have. The movie is really repetitive of the first movies. Like, it feels like, you know, yeah, this time it's Elsa that died, frozen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we already had the frozen death in the first. I feel like this movie's tried to do a lot of things and doesn't really do much. because I feel like, yeah, Olaf could have been better. I mean, a lot more developed, but like Anna as well, and Kristoff, and you know, you feel like it's really centered on Elsa, but you know, what Elsa goes through is not. She evolves a lot and she finds herself, and she becomes like this type of hero that we, you know, that save a whole a whole bunch of people. But you know, I feel like it was too easy.
Yeah,
it was too rushed. I don't know, I feel like this movie could have been two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or a really, really long movie, or a series or something like that.
Yeah, but, that way they could have expanded it more and made it more developed. And, you know, that's the thing. I think I would have appreciated more a TV show, like a series Because then we could have had all the emotional charge of Elsa's journey, and maybe in even more depth, you know, the whole when she comes back to save Arendelle bit, that could have a lot more depth and struggle, and that could have been really, I'm not saying she doesn't prove herself in the movie, of course she does, but that, it could have been even more, you know, like a punch to the gut, you know, of her, you know, like being what she's meant to be. But we could have had a lot more Kristoff, a lot more Anna, and clearly a lot more Olaf. And yeah, I mean, I'm all for more Kristoff on screen time, because I also think he's like, I love his character, but I do think he's a great, like, missed opportunity as well. Because, you know, of course, he's supposed to be the supportive character, like, Anna's love interest and whatever. But, I don't know, it would be so interesting to know a bit more about him. Because in the first movie, he belongs, you know, he grew up with the ice-like people. But you don't really know where he came from. And the trolls and everything. Yeah, but I wanted
more. That's not a problem.
I wanted more.
You know, I feel like all the mystery around Kristoff, you know, like childhood and things, I think it's nice because probably he doesn't even know, you know. And I think that it's cool not to know some things. And I think Kristoff in the first movie was really, like, not interesting at all. It was just there, basically. Yeah. But in the second, he really, like, you know, shows emotion and shows that, you know, he is insecure about some things and he's a great character. So I liked it. I don't think we should have known more about him, but they could have developed a lot more about the whole wedding stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I think Kristoff was one of the best worked on characters in this movie, at least in this one, the second one. Anna was okay, I guess. Really much more
self-assertive, you know, I guess.
Yeah, and she was nice. Olaf is really the one that got he got all this existential crisis going on, and it was really nice, but could have been more. And as well, Elsa is like, she felt a little bit more human than she did in the first one, because in the first movie she felt really like but she felt a lot more human and a lot more aware, but still I feel it was rushed. I feel the whole movie was rushed. I mean, all the thing that goes through, like, you know, when she has to go to Hatta Holland, it's like 5 seconds and she's there. And, like, it was easy.
A bit. I think they created a really beautiful scene of showing how you have to go through a bit, some challenges in life, and those aren't gonna be easy. When she's in the dark sea and she has to find a way how to get through those waves, and then the water horse appears and he's pulling her down and in deep into the sea, like, you ain't gonna pass this. I'm the best horse protector here and you're not gonna do it. Oh my god, what the fuck just happened? My dog was male. But yeah, just to resume a bit, because we're running out of time and I need to put that thing on back to its place. I think the dark sea kind of metaphor or whatever is really interesting, and a interesting construction to the whole part of her finally reaching to that safe place and that place of self-discovery and whatever that is the Otto Holland in itself and that thing.
But I still feel it was rushed. You know, all the spirits, she's like, she comes there, they're like enraged, and then she'd be like, boom, ice, and they'd be like, oh, thank you, and everything's fine. Like, you know, and the hurt, like, giants, She didn't even fall. Nothing happened. They just passed. They look at her and it was like, boom, they went away. I feel like every challenge is... I mean, I think they try to put too much challenges.
Yeah, and so they had to make them easier to overcome.
Yeah, so they have to make it fast. And fast means easy in movies. That, you know, when you have an action scene that go on for 20 minutes, it feels like hard. There's evolution and there's something happening. When it's like 5 minutes, it's like, oh man, that was easy. It's fine.
Like,
and most of
they could have just invited the whole spirit gang to an ice cream party and it would have been
a-okay.
Yeah, and I feel like there is no like, you know, they're all the same, they're all hard at the same level. They're all at the same level. It's like, she, you know, the horse, the water or whatever, you know, is not really harder than the fire thingy. It's like kind of the same.
The fire lizard.
Yeah, so you feel like there's no really, it's not, you know, usually in a movie, challenges becomes harder to overcome, and then there's this final
climax
where you got, oh my god, and it feels like really easy to get there. At least that's what I felt like. I felt like it was really too easy, and all the answers were like given to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just a plot thing. You know, I still think the movie is nice.
Yeah, of course.
I still think the message are nice and the songs are amazing.
Yeah.
The artwork.
Oh my god! The animation is amazing, my dude.
I mean, animation is good, but if you see when they arrive to the Enchanted Forest, like, in the beginning, there's some backgrounds that are just, like, lacking. They're just, like, yeah.
In which parts? I mean... You have to send me screen caps because I'm gonna
screen them for you. Like, there's a lot of backgrounds that feel lacking for a Disney movie, honestly. And others are really detailed, and you see that they spend a lot of time. And others are just, like, oh, okay. Fine, I guess.
It's some rocks.
It's not ugly. It's not horrible. It still have a lot of quality to it. But I just feel like for a Disney movie, and compared to other scenes in the same movie, it's lacking some touch, some stuff, you know? I don't know. Yeah,
I think the conclusion we get from ranting about this movie is that the movie is great, but it could be so much more.
Yeah.
And that is a bit sad, but hey, we still have the songs to jam. So,
yeah.
Now we're lost in the woods. I'm not going to sing it because my incredible singing skills are a secret for the most fortunate of people. I'm joking. I'm like... I don't have
unfortunate, you mean?
I don't know what a pitch is. But yeah, I guess with all of this, with this conclusion about the movie, about how we kind of love it, but we kind of wish there was more, and how he could have been even more developed. Yes. I guess we wrap up this episode. As always, you can let us know everything you thought about in our social media. You know, if you really have someone that loves Frozen and wants to share with us, text them, send them our things. We would love to know the thoughts of other people so that we can, you know, see different points of view about the same thing. That's exactly why we do this. But yeah, you know, you can always contact us. And as always, we hope our company has been overall nice. And we hope it was a fun episode and that you liked it.
Sorry for all the disturbance in my room. It's not a great hour for the dogs, and now she's asleep, so bye.
It's difficult being a dog mom.
It is. Look, she's sound asleep now, and look at all the mess she made.
That's amazing. Sunday is our little star of the show.
Yeah, so, she yeah. just wants attention.
With all this, I guess we say bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.
I am afraid of what I'm risking if I follow you into the end.